Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Monday morning, fourth and final hour is underway. Morning mystery movie clip in less than 20 minutes. What's on the cut sheet part due? Just over a half hour. What's on tap for the Dawn Show today in music history? And who won Twitter today? It's all still on the way. We'll get to the latest this hour on COVID, the booster, social distancing, self-isolation, masks, all of it back in the news as we got off the air on Friday. But I am seeing now on Twitter that Jason Kelce, Eagles center Jason Kelce, the greater Kelce, the one who is not a Pfizer spokesperson or Bud Light spokesperson, not a two-time or three-time world champ, and not somebody that publicly chugs Bud Lights, has tweeted the following. And this is from Jason Kelce's official Twitter feed, saying, "No keg videos this year. I have come to a decision and will address it at a press conference this afternoon." I'm presuming that that will be his official retirement speech, although he does not say he's retiring in that tweet. He maybe comes back and sticks it out for one more year, run it back a third time. I don't know.
What do you guys think?
I say he's done.
Yeah, me too.
I think he looked like he was physically done on the sideline in that playoff game when he, I think it was Big Dom he said to.
Yeah.
When he hugged him. Yeah. I think he probably told Big Dom, "This is it, pal. I'm out."
Dawn, you think he's done?
I think it depends on his tour. He's been interviewing at all the networks. And so is that, where will he go? Hmm. Will he be a broadcaster? Or will he be, he'll always be an Eagle, obviously. But I just think that's what it all comes down to. If he can broadcast and live his life and stay close to this area and help, you know, he and Kylie love this area. I think there's a really good chance that he is going to go into broadcasting, because it's just, you know, it's so tough on your body. It's hard to imagine what, you know what I mean, with that job.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's part of his heart that would love just to go one more season.
Maybe he's going to join the No Labels Unity Party ticket.
Haley
and Kelce.
Haley Kelce, 2024. I love it.
And he's 36 now?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just part of me, I love him being an Eagle, and he, I think he knows that and respects how much the city loves him.
Yeah.
And so it's tough to think about him leaving, but he won't really leave the area. That's cool too.
He could be the most beloved Philadelphia athlete in the modern era.
I'll tell you, he was recently, because we did our relative, my niece and nephew, actually, you know, at Mike's Seafood, Mike Monticetti, Jeannie Monticetti, their daughter, Karamia, teenager, when she was born, they learned then a couple of years later she was autistic. Then her younger brother, they have four kids, Mikey, autism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, New Jersey has among the highest autism rates.
Yeah.
You know, the Kelces, they run in that event every year. Do you mm-hmm. know that?
Yeah.
And they're just such great people and just humble, just show up and support. It's such a great event for autism, and just they're just lovely people. I mean, so I have such love for them. Not that I know, you know, I'm not personal friends with them or mm-hmm. anything like that, but I think we all feel like we know them.
Right.
And they're just good people.
Mm-hmm.
But he did run in the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, my son David ran. Larry and I walked, okay? but he ran it and had a pretty good time, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in good, you know, obviously he's in great physical shape. Could he do it? I think he could, but will he? I will say this. I would love to see somebody like Jason Kelce think about getting into leadership as far as, seriously, politics.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. Yeah, I can absolutely see that. Well, I mean, John Ritchie down the hall, who does the morning on the sports station, yeah, on WIP, was a guy who ran for office back in, I think, 2016 or 2017. So,
yeah, and that's Andy Kim's old district.
Okay.
John Ritchie did not run for anything.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He totally did.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not,
as a Republican.
You're not confusing him with Runyon?
No.
Oh, wait. I thought it was John Ritchie. Maybe I am saying Runyon.
Well, Runyon did as well, but Runyon was a Democrat. Let me see.
Ritchie had a Senate race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You scared me for a second, but yeah.
Ritchie, Runyon.
Yeah.
Funyon. Yeah. Yeah, because he's from Mechanicsburg. So, yeah, I knew I read that correctly. Got me questioning myself here.
Like, wait, what?
I'm supposed to have conviction on the air. Dang it. All right. So, 855-839-1210.
Hey, wait a minute. That was racist.
It was.
You were stereotyping white male former football players. You.
I was.
You.
Not
you
all of them are Republican, by the way. Some are Democrats.
Or some are Democrat. You need to go to inclusion therapy.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put me in the corner and spank me. All right. It's never going to end, folks. I think for most of us, I would say a overwhelming majority of this audience, we are all back to our normal lives, and we've been there probably for multiple years now. But there are still a select few out there that believe there's a pandemic going on, and you know, if they catch or contract COVID, they're going to shrivel up and die in 9 minutes. But the CDC has finally, this was Friday after we got off, once again, another story that broke after we got off the air Friday, the CDC has finally dropped their 5-day isolation guidance and has now said you can treat COVID like the flu and other respiratory viruses. I would argue that this guidance is about 2.5 years overdue. I stopped adhering to any of that nonsense in late 2021. Maybe some of you ditched it in 2022 or hung on for a little bit in 2023. But here we are on Friday, March 1st of 2024. If I recall, for me, when we think about when did it officially become a pandemic, to me, I'll always remember it was March 12th, 2020. When the first player in the NBA tested positive for COVID and they shut down the entire NBA, the league stopped playing games. That's when I was like, okay, there's obviously something going on here. So we're coming up on the 4-year anniversary of that. And it took almost 4 years for the CDC to go from, I think it was 10 days, was it not? Wasn't it 10 days in social isolation, in quarantining? And then they dropped it to 5. And now they are officially saying you no longer have to do the 5 days anymore, which to me was always nonsense. If you feel bad, stay home. Stay in your bedroom, watch Netflix for the day, sip ginger ale, eat toast, get your tissues, do what you normally do when you're not feeling good, and when you feel better, return to society and let the rest of us go along with our existence. So the CDC finally rolls that out almost 4 years later. But with that, see, there's always a give and take, right? So now you don't have to isolate anymore for 5 days, but the 9th booster is officially available.
Oh, my God.
Yes, this is like a release of a video game. It's like Call of Duty coming out every year. Get in line, wait for the grand opening. They'll lift the gates up. The store opens at 10, and then you can get your 9th booster shot. I don't tell people what to do with their body or their health. You do you. I took the first 2 shots 3 weeks apart in March of 2000.
Pfizer?
Yeah, Pfizer. Shot 1, March of 2021. 3 weeks later, I think it was like the first week of April, I got the second shot to complete the 2-shot series with Pfizer under the guise at the time of you could, even if you're not vaccinated, you would spread it and, you know, you could get somebody else ill. And I'll never forget, it was April of 2021, and my in-laws were coming down to Nashville. And I got it, not because I really felt like I needed it, or I certainly didn't want it, but my father-in-law at the time was dealing with rectal cancer, and he was diabetic.
Oh.
So I said, okay, I'll take one for the team. You know, okay, the wife wants me to get it. My mother-in-law didn't really care one way or the other, but she said it would be a nice gesture. I said, sure. I rolled up the sleeve. I got the 2 shots. Of course, I got COVID after the shot. And we all realized that you could still spread COVID and get COVID post-shot. But we're now on the 9th installment of a booster. And I was thinking about this. Have we ever seen anything in pharma where we've seen so many variations of an updated shot or vaccine, in air quotes, because it's not a vaccine. In my opinion, it's not a vaccine unless it's like, you know, the measles or the mumps. You get the shot and then boom, you're vaccinated and you no longer will get it ever again. 9 boosters in the course of 3 years. Think about this from a calendar standpoint. Remember, it was around Christmas of 2020 as we were 9 months into the pandemic when we started seeing the headlines in the news and they were showing you the videos you'd put on Fox or CNN or MSNBC, and you saw the boosters going down, like, or the vaccines going down the assembly line. And it was like, they're rolling out the new shot. It's almost here. And it took until, I think for me, and I was, so in 2021, I was 37. I was eligible for it in March of 2021. I think they were doing, weren't they doing it by age demos initially? Like 65 yes. plus, high risk, people with comorbidities would get first access to the supply that was presented. I think that's the way it was.
Yes, and children were the last group, but it was all emergency approval.
Right.
And I remember early on, my sister-in-law said, isn't that weird that the doctors, nurses, medical professionals, people at the highest level of education, you know what I mean? The people with doctorates, and why, she said, why are those people questioning this?
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a great observation by my sister-in-law very early on. She said, why are all these, some of the most highly educated people are the ones questioning this whole situation?
Like Dr. Jay Bhattacharya.
Who was silenced on social media.
Yeah, and he actually tweeted on Friday, the CDC slowly inches its way back to sanity with this long overdue revision of its COVID isolation guideline. It is no longer an outlier in the international public health community. So now, after all these years, it's acceptable to sit here and say, well, why are we doing this? Is the shot effective? Why is it still being pushed on us? But when you had those thoughts in 2020 or 2021, you became like Dr. J. You became a pariah in your own community. And that's the sin of it all.
It is.
Like, that's the whole point of becoming an expert medically, legally. Some people, doctors, lawyers, arrive at a conclusion that is different than one of their peers. It's, think about this, at least from a medical standpoint. Mm-hmm. Forget legal for a moment. You could send up Jonathan Turley on Fox News, and his legal analysis of something might be different than somebody else's. But in the medical community, if you're dealing with an ailment and you go to a doctor and then you don't like what the doctor has to say or you disagree with it, you can go get a second, third, or fourth opinion. Mm-hmm. You can go see 15 doctors until you find out what you're really looking to diagnose yourself with, right?
Yeah.
But in COVID, that was a no-no.
It's a shame because, first off, there's a documentary out there, and I did an interview on it so long ago, but remember the cruise ships, and we knew that they were coming to this area, the first cases.
Yeah, and you had to stay on the cruise,
remember?
Right? You couldn't get off.
They knew everything. If they had just taken that data, they had basically a human petri dish with people stuck on the cruise ship who was vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
They had it right there if they had just followed that. And so the truth is the vaccine was important for those super high risk people or for people with high risk and age. But for children, for example, the worst thing we did, and we're still dealing with the mental health crisis, the worst thing we did was shut down the schools, shut down businesses, shut down the health clubs, churches. We just couldn't have done a worse job
mm-hmm.
of saying everybody has to have this instead of just look at the facts of the case.
That's right.
It's not a sin.
It is. It is. Look, and if you're in that elderly population and, you know, you could, like, if somebody came up to you and you're 74 years old in 2021 and you said, hey, if you get COVID, I'm just throwing out numbers. These are not factual. There's a 20% chance you could die. But if you take the vaccine, there's only a 3% chance you would die. Me personally, if that was presented to me that way,
yeah.
at 74, I'd get the shot. But for a healthy middle-aged man or woman or somebody in their 20s or 30s or certainly children, it became so apparently obvious that, and yes, there's the rare cases where some 9-year-old might die from COVID, but the odds were clearly showing you that in all likelihood, probably don't need the shot.
Yeah.
So, but that was controversial to say.
Yeah.
You were anti-science, you were anti-vax, you didn't trust the healthcare medical community, you're a right-wing conspiracy theorist who gets their news from Rumble. Okay, cool.
And all those people who died in those nursing homes, elderly folks and grandparents, and we don't even talk about that, and people who couldn't visit their grandparents and great-grandparents.
Well, and that's the sin of it all. That was the worst place you could put these people. Because if you've ever been into any of these like assisted facilities, everything spreads there. It spreads like wildfire. Yes. So it became just a hotbed of COVID death when it could have been somehow averted and avoided in a different, safer setting. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. Morning Mystery Movie Clip is on the way here on Kale & Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You know, my kitchen is the heart of my home. I love my kitchen. If your kitchen or bath is a little bit outdated, maybe it's a lot outdated. You know what you need? You need Kitchen Magic. They're wonderful. Local, Pennsylvania, family-owned, operated right here since 1979. Their experienced team has transformed more than 60,000 spaces. And a dedicated design consultant is going to work with you on every choice. They're going to be right there with you every step of the way for things like refacing, or do you want the custom cabinets, backsplash, the counters? And yes, they do the tub shower conversions as well. So you get exactly what you want, and it comes with an industry-leading warranty. Right now, Kitchen Magic is offering 12 months, no payments, no interest financing. What? 12 months, no payments, no interest financing, which is great, but also 10% off your entire remodel. Just visit kitchenmagic.com, kitchenmagic.com. Make sure you tell them Dolan sent you.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Happy Monday to all of you. Nick, Dawn, and Greg here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube, 855-839-1210. It is now time, as we do each and every day, right around 9:20 or thereabout, it's time for the Morning Mystery Movie Clip.
And now, the Morning Mystery Movie Clip on Kale & Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What are you, crazy?
And why you killed the girl?
I didn't kill no girl!
We know she worked for you at the 44 below.
She got too close, right? Found out from Mitchell that you were the rat, so you killed her. But somehow, Riddler found out too. He knows so much about you. You must know about him.
Who is he?
Boy, you guys are a hell of a duet here. Why'd you start harmonizing?
There's only one problem with your little scenario, okay? I ain't no rat! You got any idea what Carmine Falcone will do to me? How you just gotta talk?
Oh, you don't want to talk about rats, huh? Maybe we can talk about what they did to my partner's face.
Holy God, what are you showing me?
His head.
Come on!
Open your eyes!
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
Yeah, it came out 2 years ago today. I think it's wildly underrated. I thought it was very, very good.
Oh, you're wrong.
I would mention the villain that got mentioned there, but if I do, it'll make it even easier. So I'll just skip the villain that was identified in that clip. Because the movie was like 3.5 hours long, we couldn't have found something a little bit more difficult. But, you know. Anywho, here's a pair of movie passes to see Cabrini from the makers of Sound of Freedom.
Oh.
Experience the uplifting journey of Francesca Cabrini in Cabrini, arriving in New York in 1889. I think Joe Biden was 3 then. Her daring mission will transform lives. Get your tickets to Cabrini now in theaters on International Women's Day, March 8th. A day that I thought Dawn Stenzel would celebrate. But after her Caitlin Clark commentary, I don't think Dawn celebrates International Women's Day anymore. Can't believe it. 855-839-CALLER12, and you'll be the winner if you can identify that clip.
International Women's Day, huh?
Ooh, that's right. It's a day for everybody.
Wow. Okay.
Let me ask you something.
Doesn't sound very inclusive to me.
No. But I'm wondering, like, when are we going to celebrate straight white cis males? When do we get our day?
Every day. Every day is your freaking day.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I feel like I'm being left out of the party here. Everybody gets a day. There's a National Ice Cream Day, National This Day. But in all seriousness, 855-839-1210, caller number 12, and you will win that prize. Before we get to the cut sheet part due and we get our winner, I think it's time for us to give us a little pat on the back ourselves here. Yes, how about this? Because Friday we had Seattle canceled comedian Jim Florentine, who joined the show.
Yeah.
He was really good. If you missed it, go back on the Odyssey app or go back and watch the show from Friday on YouTube as he joined us. I think it was, 9:30 we had him on.
Yep.
On Friday. And we apparently beat a lot of press and publications to the punch.
Shocking.
Because he ended up doing an interview with the New York Post.
Yeah, it's in today's hard copy of the Post. End of the Punchline, it's called. Woke Comedy Club Disinvites Comics.
Yes. Comic predicts that woke Seattle club that canceled him will not stay in business that long. And, I think the reality is this, and you see it in bits and pieces now. I mean, we mentioned this earlier this morning in the cut sheet. Two straight weeks, Saturday Night Live, of all places, on NBC. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were sitting there and looking at the major networks, ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC, I would argue NBC, which is owned by Comcast, is probably the wokest of the bunch. And that's just based on the way they present things. I've always thought NBC goes the furthest left. So you have Shane Gillis on. Now, it's Lorne Michaels' thing, but I don't know. What do you think his relationship is with NBC? Do you think Lorne Michaels needs, I should say Lorne, I always call him Lorne. Lorne, L-O-R-N-E. Do you think he had to run that by NBC?
He has such carte blanche there that he can do whatever he wants to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he has Shane Gillis on, and now this past week they mock Joe Biden, and I'm wondering if we're getting to the point now, and I'm not remotely implying that it will ever be a fair fight and it will be 50-50, but are we going to get to the point where I think, all of these comic clubs, streaming services, network television will slowly walk back the cancellation of people with differing viewpoints? Now, the Seattle club, Florentine goes out and says in this column in the New York Post that he doesn't think they are going to be sticking around very long. Because I would argue the summer of 2023 was the summer of pushback for common sense. And I'm not even going to say it's conservative boycotts. It was just a pushback for, hey, you know what? We don't need a dude pretending to be a girl selling beer. We want to have our comics and our comedians and our stand-up people be able to walk up to that line. And heck, at times, cross the line. All in an attempt to get a few good laughs. Is this the beginning that we have seen in the last 9-10 months of kind of ending and putting a dagger in this cancel culture world?
Every time I think that it's ending, it comes back. So you take 3 steps forward and 8 steps back with this stuff. That's what I think is happening here. Look, Lorne Michaels is looking to have, get ratings on his show because God knows it needs it.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Gillis was a way to do that. You know what I mean? Like, he knows that he made a mistake there. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he does. I don't know. But he's like, hey, people will talk if we bring this guy back and we hype it.
Doesn't that become hypocritical of the left then?
Of course it does.
We're in dire straits, so we're willing to bring in the unwoke dude.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you call a spade for a spade. It's like, oh, now all of a sudden Shane Gillis is good enough or politically correct or not offensive, because that comedy club in Seattle said that Shane Gillis does not represent the progressive values of this club.
I know.
Think about a comedy club saying they have progressive values. What does that mean? Like, seriously.
Yeah, I know.
Half of comedy's not allowed here?
Yeah.
That's the joke.
That is the joke. You're absolutely right. Let me grab Victor in Hatboro. He is our winner this morning. Victor, good morning. What movie did we play for you, sir?
You just played The Batman?
The Batman. What gave it away? Was it the fact that he said The Riddler?
No, I've seen it, and I recognize the voice right away.
Yes. Very good, Victor. Well, we appreciate it. You've got the tickets for Cabrini. Congratulations. Thank you for playing, and thank you for listening. So you didn't like that rendition of Batman, did you? I thought it was good.
It wasn't a superhero movie. It would have been a great, movie that was a superhero movie.
It was different. It was a different twist to it.
I didn't like Robert Pattinson as Batman. I thought he's a little too emo for me. Like, I'm so tortured. I'm so, you know what I mean? Like, Christian Bale, Michael Keaton.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. I'm with you there. But I mean, it's a different twist on the Batman, much like Joaquin Phoenix's twist on the Joker was different from Ledger and Nicholson.
But Joaquin Phoenix's Joker was not a Joker movie. It should have been really a movie about a mentally ill guy.
Right.
Rather than a movie about the Joker.
Could be a real life version of TikTok.
And they're making a sequel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Lady Gaga is going to play Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
Again, not superhero movies.
Really?
No.
I'm a Batman fan, so I like
I'm a Batman fan, too.
One I never liked was the one with Ben Affleck where it was Batman versus Superman. Atrocious.
Yeah, I mean,
utterly awful.
There have been some terrible Batmans. George Clooney, Ben Affleck, Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer was bad.
But nothing, in my opinion, was as worse as Robert Pattinson.
Right.
I just think it was just a...
Wow.
It was like an emo version of...
I didn't like him as Bruce Wayne. I liked him as Batman.
Okay.
But that's just me.
Okay. Ben Affleck was the worst.
Oh, there's no doubt. Ben Affleck's terrible in everything. 855-839-1210. We'll come back, get to What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2 as we continue live on this Monday morning. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. What I love working with our friends, and the reality is this. They hook me up with so many great options. Always letting me come by, take a look at different, you know, vehicles, some of the new financing offers. And even though I'm not eligible for about 2.5 more years for a new lease, they wanted me to check out the Honda Pilot. And I got to tell you, I've been a lifelong SUV guy. I was a Jeep Grand Cherokee guy for many years. I had 3 different Jeeps. And I love my Honda Ridgeline. But this Honda Pilot Trail Sport, it's kind of like a mix of 2 things I absolutely love. Rough, rugged vehicle for all-terrain conditions, off-roading, but also the technology, the sleek look, the amenities on the inside, and the third row seating. If you've got a growing family and the wife is saying, I need a third row, the Honda Pilot Trail Sport 2024, which features a 7-mode drive system, Trail Watch multi-camera view, 18-inch alloy wheels, and wireless Apple CarPlay. And you can check out all of their offers because they've got 5 different Honda locations. Check them out in Philly, Pottstown, Reading, Springfield, and Langhorne. Or shop all their inventory at PiazzaAutoGroup.com.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company Monday morning as we continue here. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Just about 12 minutes out from What's on Tap for the Dawn Show. Today in music history and who won Twitter today. But before we get to all of that, we get to a Monday installment of What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2.
What's on the Cut Sheet
Part 2? I told you guys that the mainstream media was going to make an issue out of Trump's confusing Obama and Biden.
Here we go.
This morning on Morning Joe, while we were talking, they put together a montage of this to make it... They're really trying to push this.
Did the White House provide this for them and just email them the MP3?
I mean, they might as well have right here. And, of course, Joe and Mika are looking at it like, oh, this is so sad. Oh, man, it's just so sad. I can't believe this. I can't believe what's happening here. It's unbelievable.
It's so predictable, though.
They're trying to make fetch happen.
Mm-hmm.
Cut. I think this is 14, Phil. Morning Joe montage of Trump gaffes. This is how that sounded. Go.
Putin, you know, has so little respect for Obama that he's starting to throw around the nuclear word today. You heard that, nuclear. Did you just see Maduro, Venezuela? It's unbelievable. In oil exploration and production in the United States. The Biden border will, well, you know this, right? Even Argentina, they went MAGA. You know Argentina, great guy. We will expel the warmongers. We are a nation that just recently heard that Saudi Arabia and Russia Will we be doing...
That's actually funny.
You, you turn away when you start to blank out. What does it upset you?
It just, it feels very unhealthy. I'm
unhealthy.
Very careful. It doesn't look good.
It doesn't.
It scares me.
Can we play it one more time? I want to see what.
Yeah, let's run it back.
I'm worried, actually, physically. He does not look good. Can we play it one more time? I don't know.
Putin, you know, has so little respect for Obama that he's...
So you guys get it.
He physically doesn't look good? Does Joe have like some fog on his glasses? Like, what is he looking at? What do you mean he doesn't look good? He doesn't look like he's... And I'm not trying to be a hack here. He doesn't look any different than he did in 2020. He looks exactly the same. Okay, he has a couple of gaffes here and there, but my God. Imagine coming to the conclusion, I don't know how many producers that show has, we'll say 17, and they say, hey, why don't we put together a montage today of Trump's gaffes and try to say it's apples to apples or oranges to oranges, when it's not even close.
These two could not have sucked up to Trump more.
Before he
became, and remember, even during, while he was campaigning, they loved. Mm-hmm. That, Trump's going to call in, and they love the ratings, they had sucked up to him for years. I would love to know, did they pay when they were stayed in Mar-a-Lago? Because I would imagine he put them up.
You know, it's funny. Donna is absolutely correct in that. That was 2016, when he was running for the first time. A lot of liberals criticized MSNBC and Joe Scarborough for giving him a platform. He was literally almost like a co-host on that show.
Yeah.
I kid you not. He called in all the time. They yucked it up. They had there were voicemail messages that they left on his phone about it. Donald, how are you? We're gonna come down to Mar-a-Lago this weekend. That's why I hate this business, because it's just filled with phonies and scam artists and grifters. That's why I hate this business. Sorry.
You know what? I mean, it is honestly remarkable. And I'm thinking about my lifetime in the span of Trump in my 40 years. So I'm a 5 or a 6 year old. It's 1989. WrestleMania is in Atlantic City at Trump Taj Mahal. Trump's beloved. Then The Apprentice comes along. Trump is beloved. You see him on SNL. He made a cameo in Home Alone 2. He was Minka's best friend and Joe's best friend. And all of a sudden, you just draw whatever her name is. Pain in my keister. You draw a nice little R next to his name, and all of a sudden, he becomes persona non grata. Because Trump wants to make the economy better, protect the border, and be tough on crime. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, hey, for the next 8 years, let's just completely flip script here. Come on. It's remarkable how much he was beloved.
Text messages with Tucker Carlson saying
they're all frauds. Kind
of, they're all frauds.
Every one of them.
Trump dropped a new ad. Donald Trump for president dropped a new ad. This one is good. Get over to YouTube. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. If you want to see the visual of this, it's just a 34-second ad. I'll give you a second. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. While you're here, please hit the like and subscribe button. This is the new ad for Donald J. Trump for president. I believe it just came out this morning. This is how that is cut. Wherever we are, Phil. The last cut.
The last stinking cut.
The last stinking cut. Go.
Border theme, folks.
Yep.
Every day, Joe Biden is giving aid and comfort to the foreign enemies of the United States. 3 years ago, we were more respected than ever before, and now they have no respect for us whatsoever. On day one of my administration, I will terminate every open border policy of the Biden administration, and we will begin the largest domestic deportation operation in American history.
There you go. And that was obviously filmed just on Thursday. You can tell that was him at Eagle Pass. And as we know, Joe was in Brownsville. Short, simple, sweet, to the point. I think it resonates on what many are saying, at least from polling, is the number one issue in the United States right now.
Very smart for him to release this now. Smart.
If I would have told the Biden administration that on March 4th, 2024, the border would, the economy would not be the biggest issue.
Yeah.
The Biden administration would be like, we're doing a great job. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's not true. Yep. It's just that the border has become a bigger issue, and it's become number one. There you go. All right, 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, we'll come back, wrap it up with what's on tap for the Dawn Show today in music history and who won Twitter today. But first, a word from my friends at Blue Chew. All right, fellas, perhaps you've reached that point in your life where, you know, spice things up a little bit. Current relationship or impress somebody new on the open market. Blue Chew tablets are a performance enhancement for the bedroom that will have you knocking it out of the park yet again. And it's got the same active ingredient as Levitra, but here's the beauty of it. A more cost-friendly price, because we're all looking to save a few dollars. Blue Chew's licensed medical professionals, they work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. And if swallowing pills is not for you, no problem. Their tablets are chewable. And how about this special offer for my listeners? Try Blue Chew for free. All you have to do is go to BlueChew.com, enter the promo code 1210, and just pay the nominal $5 shipping fee. And boom, it is yours. Discreet delivery, no in-person conversations, and that special someone will thank you for bringing back your prime. BlueChew.com, promo code 1210.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
The Dawn Show in just about 7.5 minutes, and we find out what she has lined up at the top of the hour.
Yeah, and obviously we may get that SCOTUS ruling as we find out, will Trump remain on the ballot in Colorado? And that'll have implications, obviously, for Illinois, for Maine, where they made that announcement yesterday that this may be coming down in 7 minutes, tick-tock. So we'll have that off the top, whichever way it goes in the vote. 10:06-ish, Nate Benefield of the Commonwealth Foundation is going to join me. We'll talk about all things Pennsylvania as far as the budget, Shapiro, what's going on, his take. And we'll update you, of course, on this issue of a Pennsylvania state policeman who's under fire by the media and others. Was it an improper stop or a proper one? The mayor's office may be giving us some new insights as well. The state police are under Josh Shapiro. So we'll talk to Nate about all of those issues. In the 11 a.m. hour, we'll check in with Anthony Hennen, who's our great Pennsylvania reporter. We have another one of those train derailments this time in Pennsylvania, so we'll talk about that going on.
Mayor Pete!
Yeah, well, we've got it all covered. There's just so much breaking this hour. We're watching very carefully. And will former President Donald J. Trump, maybe he'll have some reaction to this ruling.
Okay, looking forward to that. It's going to be a very, very busy week, yeah, all week long, so don't touch that dial as we wrap it up today with Today in Music History from Phil Ongles.
What happened on this day in music history?
Today, March 4th, we celebrate the birthdays of Jason Newsted of Metallica and Chris Squire of Yes. One notable single from today includes Surfing USA by the Beach Boys, released in 63. Two notable albums include Fallen by Evanescence from 2003 and Spandau Ballet's True from 83. Also on this day, Ruby Tuesday became the Stones' fourth number one in the U.S. in 67. And on the same day, Steve Winwood and his brother announced they're leaving the Spencer Davis Group. In 66, though, John Lennon declared the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ. And lastly, in 78, the IRS raided Jerry Lee Lewis's house and repossessed $170,000 worth of automobiles to pay off his debt. For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Onquist.
And on this day in history in 2007, I declared Ruby Tuesdays to be the best salad bar in the area. It's just a different Ruby Tuesday. Ruby. All right, let's wrap it up with who won Twitter today.
Who won Twitter?
I think this is Maga Maga Man. He says, tell Dawn, settle down. Pistol Pete wasn't a huge long-range shooter. He was 12-foot and under jump shooter and huge drive basket player, not a three-point shooter. There you go.
But he, look at the numbers. I'm telling you. We're going to talk more, Mega Man.
Yeah, I think you should go wall-to-wall Caitlin Clark here in the 10 to 12 hours.
Wait, unfortunately, we don't have time.
Yeah, right.
This Trump thing is going to blow up right at 10.
I would agree. All right, that'll do it for us. Everybody have a great rest of your Monday. The Dawn Show is coming up next. And as the binder would say,
I'll see you tomorrow. Come talk to me.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.